Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and Frank cooling company of the Junkies.
Oh, I'd love for their little some thought help there.
If you're looking to be the next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join
their team. I'm warm. I'm sweating. Yeah,
see? Took his jacket off.
It's not because you don't know how to work the thermostat. We know that.
You found Roger? Okay, sorry. I keep hitting the talk back.
Again, Frank will be at the DC Improv tonight and Wednesday. You can go to dcimprov.com for all of your ticket information.
Speaking of tickets, we have Metallica tickets to give away later this hour, so stay tuned for that.
Correct.
Roger!
Are you a big music fan?
Roger. Hey, Roger.
Oh, Roger is super polite.
Hey, Roger.
Roger's very nice.
Roger, put your cans on. I just want you to be able to hear everybody. All right, so Roger's our engineer. This is Frank Caliendo. Do you know Frank? Frank's a world famous actor, comedian, everything.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So we're having a dispute.
It's funny, I knew more about you than you knew about me.
So we were having a dispute about the thermostat.
Yeah.
It was too cold, okay?
This thermostat right
here? Yes. Okay. So I put on the flame. Right. I set it at 70, and now it says 76. Now we're all dying. Why doesn't it stop at 70?
It's just erratic. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with these.
But can you fix it? This is untenable.
I can look
at it. We're not in a good situation. He likes to be cold.
Yeah.
I like to be 70 degrees. Room temperature, 70 degrees.
Room temperature is whatever you set the room temperature at.
Cool.
That's a great point.
Listen, I also agree. I don't want to be 80.
No.
That's too much. Right. But I don't like it at 61. Or whatever, like these guys like
61?
It. Hold on, snowflake on it, and it keeps getting colder.
I want to play a game. It just popped in my head. Now, Frank, you have to go along with it.
Okay.
Because Roger, we sometimes have fun with him. He doesn't know many things about sports.
Right.
Yeah, that's generous.
But I'm wondering if he knows movie characters. Could you do a couple impressions and we see if Roger can figure out who you're doing? Very famous impressions.
Hey, Frank, here's my very mainstream.
Biggest ones.
Go really, really mainstream.
Like maybe AP.
Don't take offense. The problem is Frank's going to end up taking offense.
No, he shouldn't take offense.
He doesn't understand. Roger he's not big on like pop culture. He's not a big pop culture guy.
Look at this.
Yeah. No, you're going to get a little higher up. A little higher.
There you go.
There you go.
Look at that producing.
What's your favorite
movie? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Just to give up context, do you have a favorite movie of all time?
He's big into the Planet of the Apes. I remember that. Right?
Do you have a favorite? Yeah. Do you have a favorite movie?
Wasn't Marky Mark one of those? Oh my God!
Well, there's Sylvester Stallone. So
hey, yo, that's all I can do. Yeah, I can do that.
You like Rocky? Yeah. Look.
Yo, Adrian, that's all I can do.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How
about you ever see Shawshank Redemption? You'd be the first person not to.
Right.
Andy Dufresne. 9,500 yards of the fifth is slap. I can't even imagine. Or maybe I just don't want to.
Yeah. You know
I don't think
is?
He knows
you
who
know
it
that is.
Sounds familiar, right?
Yeah.
Who is the actor that he's doing that impression of?
What about Adam Sandler? How about that? I'll just call him all out. That's one you don't know.
That's what it's about.
That's pretty. That's what he did a little bit himself. I feel like Roger could be in one of my movies.
But you're telling
him. That's how we're going to do it. I've got a feeling I could tell him something. He's still not going to know.
Like if you did this guy, I don't know that he's going to
pull it. Whoa! Ah, hoo-ah. Right. We're going right to it.
All right.
Do you know who that is?
What's that? No.
No idea.
No idea. Hold up.
Roger, can I ask you a question?
Oh, Arnold?
What do you do all day?
He said Arnold.
I'm trying to
get to the chopper. Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Look out.
How about this? I mean, I just like seeing you do it, too.
Hey, how are you? Huh? Is that something do we know what we're doing right here?
Is that ring a bell? How about one of your presidents?
Hold up, though. Well, look at him do this.
Roger, you're doing a tremendous job. You're probably the best. He's trying to figure it out. He's struggling.
Can you know who this is? He's doing a president.
A lot of people, quite frankly. There are so many people who don't know.
Trump, yeah! Fist bump, Roger.
Exactly.
You got it.
Sorry,
Roger's first ever fist bump.
All right,
so hold on.
How about this one, Roger? It's another president.
You think you know that
Spiro
one?
Spiro Agnew.
Ah,
yeah, no, you know.
Well, I remember.
It rings a bell. Does this ring a bell? Not the Spiro Agnew part, but the voice.
Can you name the president?
Can you name who this is right now? We're doing a simplification of
Who do you think?
Bush.
Bush.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
He's on a roll. I think we should stop.
I'm sorry. Back to the initial thing. Okay. Is there a chance we can get the thermostat to when you
based
set
on the contest?
70,
I'm going to say no.
And it stops at 70.
Yeah, let me go do that.
Do you think you can fix that, or we have to? I mean, don't we need an HVAC guy?
Well, there was an HVAC guy here, but he did change the air filters.
Well, that's not gonna work. We need it when it, if you set it at whatever you set it at, it needs to stay at that temperature.
Yeah, I'll ask him about it. Yeah. I'll call him.
I feel like
you guys have been having
variations. Just tell him we're having a fight. Yeah. We're fighting with our guests.
It's a battle, right?
Yes.
It is a battle.
Yes. Yeah. All right,
that's the right word. Good. I mean, it's great to meet you, but I feel like just awesome.
Thank you, Roger, very much, sir.
Roger. Yeah.
Frank, right. What do you think of Roger's Rain Man impression?
I actually think I had a better chance of figuring out the thermostat. I wasn't ready. I tried to warn you.
But you called. You said engineer guys. Sometimes they're a little bit different.
That was even more than I'd expected. Yeah. I mean, that was.
Somehow he runs this six or seven stations.
He seemed
here.
Like a British music mogul. I thought he was a queen back.
Yeah, in
the like
day.
That's what it looked like, and he just
you
got.
No, he's got. He's like a. Isn't he like a property guy? Like, doesn't he own like 8 properties in Buffalo
or something?
He's
like a property
like a slumlord.
Yeah, he's like a slumlord.
Cakes, you do an impression of him though. What does he say all the time when you start a conversation?
Roger?
He ends.
Yeah. He basically is that good? Is that something?
There was
something?
A lot of nodding.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of nodding even when he disagreed.
And a lot of non-acknowledgement.
He's a very agreeable guy. Yeah. Very agreeable guy.
Yeah, I feel like he's operating at a higher level than us.
Yeah.
I think
on some level.
You were expecting like a 6 or 7 and that was a 10.
Like, it was about a 25. I mean, I honestly had to watch because I wanted to be careful. I don't want to make somebody upset.
No, I don't think it's impossible to make
you
them
think
upset.
So?
Yeah. No. But he also used to want to
like,
you know.
Roger, you're on fire right now.
That's it.
I mean, it is like literally anything could happen to him. We're going to drop you out of the plane. Okay.
Yeah. He has the skill too that he sits in the break room where, you know, we have water cooler and coffee and all that stuff. And he'll start a conversation and you'll say, "All right, Roger." You'll walk off and he's still doing it.
I literally always walk away.
You come back
from
in and he's in the middle of it still.
Yeah, probably is. 90% of the time.
I mean, that is. I really wasn't ready, guys.
I'm sorry.
It just popped in my head. Because what we've done is just generally just common knowledge trivia. He's from Buffalo, who's the Bills quarterback.
Right.
Because he'll sometimes start with the small talk, like, how about them Bills?
Right.
But you know he doesn't know anything about it.
How about them Bills? I don't know. Wow.
Anyway, Drabby, can you come in here? It's too hot in here.
Yes.
Can you come in here?
I think he turned it down.
No. It's like a flashing snowflake. I'm not sure if it's I'm not sure if it's not in.
I think it's actually sleet.
Like
it's on
just
sleet.
Be at a set just lock the freaking thing in. It's 70 degrees. Whatever it takes. That's all.
If you
it's just
what
so
you
hot.
Do is you just turn the cool on to a little bit and then it'll go off early. You can't set it down too low cuz then it'll keep going. But if you set the cool,
so if you set the cool at 70, it's still going to go to 61.
That's the issue. It doesn't regulate. Yeah, it doesn't. It's kind of erratic.
Yeah, it's erratic.
It's a little erratic.
It's a little erratic. Yeah. Oh man,
you're going to do Roger tonight at DC Improv?
There's a chance I might.
If you want to do a micro impression that nobody gets,
there's an element
Roger.
Of
yeah. So how many?
You're being dismembered at the moment.
Yeah, I want to be part of something. A documentary on Netflix.
I'm just happy he pulled Bush.
Well, yeah, that was. I mean,
it was
he
like
did get the Trump, and it was under his breath, like he was worried he might not.
Worried he might not get it, but he did. He did. He got it. He wasn't a bit gay.
You actually thought he would get like Bobby De Niro or some of those.
You
should be able to get Robert De Niro. I was trying to think of like. Somebody that's been famous for decades.
Everybody knows Morgan Freeman. That's one of the easiest ones. But it's funny when he's like pretends to know it, when he pretended to know it just to get out of it.
Everything is a pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he didn't want to offend Frank.
Yeah, that could be true too. But I think in Roger life, was so well mannered. In life, communication is just, he just wants to be agreeable.
That's is kinda, he married or anything?
Yeah. He is married.
Oh, then he's just like you. Yeah. Yeah. That, you want to see how you look like to everybody else? Yeah,
that's it. That's me in the mirror. That's a terrifying thought.
The great acquiescer. Never had a fight. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
How many shows are you doing, Frank? You're doing two a night?
Yeah.
Two a night?
Yeah.
I think it's one a night.
Yeah. It's only one a night?
Yeah, one per.
One.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. One.
Yeah. One a night. Just tonight and tomorrow. That's
tonight,
it.
Tomorrow. What? Seven? Is that the prime time? What's the prime time?
I don't know. I usually do a seven because people who are downtown or in that area can just get there right away. Don't have to wait too long, and it gives. I think traffic isn't flowing too badly into DC at that point.
So, right.
And sometimes they think they can add a second show. I'm like, almost never are there second shows. My audience is like me. They're going to bed fairly early. So.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Well, Frank, we appreciate you spending extra time with us today.
You're the man,
you can go to dcimprov.com for your tickets. He'll be at the DC Improv tonight and Wednesday. It's
guys,
great.
Go get a shower.
Frank Caliendo, thank you again for coming in. Go Thanks, see guys. Him tonight at the DC Improv. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980 AM, Monumental Sports Network as well. Thanks again to Frank Caliendo for spending a lot of time, almost an hour and a half, with the Junks in studio. That is very kind of him. He'll be at the DC Improv tonight. Go to dcimprov.com for all of your ticket info.
So you know, it is literally freezing in here. Because now the cold air is coming in.
It feels good. And to me, it feels good right now. Like whatever the temp is, this is perfect.
It just won't stop.
EB, maybe the trippy goat will warm you up.
Yeah, it's a trippy goat vodka. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a little Thank early you. To try, but maybe I will this morning.
All right, so we wanted to get into Mike Clay from ESPN's Commanders projections for 2025.
Intrigued.
He's done projections for every team in the NFL, stats, weekly score projections, projected wins. I'm most intrigued, though, by his Jaden Daniels stat predictions. Here are his predictions for Jaden Daniels in the year 2025, this upcoming NFL season. He has him playing in 15 games. He has him throwing for 3,726 yards, 23 touchdowns against just 10 picks, and getting sacked 38 times on the season. He has him rushing for 711 yards.
I'll take the over.
And six touchdowns. So he has him with nearly 30 touchdowns in his sophomore campaign through 15 games.
The rushing, I'll take the over, because I think he finished with more than that last season.
He finished with, I want to say, 891, I think?
Yeah.
I'll double-check his numbers.
He finished with more than that, so that's definitely the over. Give me the touchdown total again, passing.
He had 23 passing.
No, the Clay predicts 23.
23 passing
I
touchdowns.
I think I might take the over on that.
And 10 interceptions.
that one, I don't know which
that's
way
I would number.
Go.
Yeah. That's a good number. I mean, if he's going to chuck it.
If he's going to rush for 6 to 8, I think 23 through 15 games is a pretty accurate projection as to what to expect from him in this offense.
I would take the over probably on all of them.
Adding Debo Samuel, hopefully Eckler's back healthy. B-Rob returns. You got Zach Ertz signing the one-year deal. He's back in the mix. You expect a step up from both Sinnott and Luke McCaffrey from their rookie years. Care to guess Terry McLaurin's stat projection?
I would say Terry will, I think his projection will be 11 touchdowns and 1,100 yards.
He has him close on that yardage. He has him for 1,032 yards on 77 catches.
I need Frank's glasses. I can't,
just seven
so
touchdowns.
Only seven? So he's regressing. I don't know, man. He came to life last year in the touchdown department with having a real quarterback.
13, I believe, last year.
It's hard to think he's going to duplicate the 13. I mean,
that's
that
why
just,
I said 11. It's also 17 games.
11's a lot of touchdowns. I think 7's a good number, actually. Doesn't mean he's having a bad year, but I think that's a good number.
So you would take the under.
No, I don't necessarily take the under, but I think that's a great.
Well, under is a prediction of 11.
I have his prediction as at 7.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. If it was 11, I would definitely probably go under, just on likelihood. I mean, Terry's a stud.
Now he's got a big time bump for Ben Sinnott in year two. He's got him with 27 catches for 268 and 2 end zone trips.
Those are modest numbers.
Very modest.
But that's
modest.
That's a big jump from what he did as a rookie.
Yeah, he did nothing last year.
He had 5 catches as a rookie.
Yeah, but that's
5.
Yeah, but they just didn't use him. I think that's very attainable.
All right, the number that jumps out the most is his projected wins for the Commanders. Now, he's done projected wins and losses for every team in the NFL. He has the Commanders with a projected 8.7 wins and 8.3 losses.
That's
he basically
terrible.
Thinks that they're going to be a 500 team.
Yeah.
Is what he's saying with this projection. Now, he has the Eagles at 10.3 wins and 6.7 losses. He doesn't have a lot of faith in either Dallas or the Giants. He has Dallas at 7.7 and the Giants at 6.6.
I mean, needless to say, if they go, now it's 8.7, but let's just, if they go 8-9, it's going to be a pretty dejected fan base. If they go,
absolutely.
If they go 9-8, not going to be thrilled. You got to get to at least 10.
They've set the bar with the 12-win season.
They
got
to get to at least 10.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they will. But they got to get to 10 for the fan base to be super geeked up. If they went 8-9, oh man, that'd be bad. Bloom would be off the rolls.
By the way, he has the Cleveland Browns as the team with the lowest projected win total at 4.6.
What about the highest?
Highest he has the Detroit Lions at 12.1 projected wins.
But what did they have last year? They had like 15?
Lions, I think, won 15 games.
Yeah.
He has the Vikings way down, too. They won 14 games during the regular season. He has them at 8.6 wins.
Oh, they're going with an unproven quarterback.
Not a J.J. McCarthy believer.
And he basically has the Commanders and Vikings having the same amount of wins, right?
Yeah.
Then 8.7 versus 8.6?
Mm-hmm. He's got your Ravens at 11.9.
He might be right.
Couldn't bump him up to 12, Valdez.
I'm not going to say he's wrong. We ran hot in like 4 or 5 games, for sure. We all know it. But if it ends up playing out that way, it's going to be a tough season.
By the way, his projections for Jaden Daniels are on 15 games. He's got Mariota playing 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he has him starts, like 2 full games. Kind of looks like that because he's got him with 71 pass
starts.
Attempts.
It's got to be starts because he's only playing in 15.
Yeah, so he's projected Mariota to play a couple of games. Yeah, look, it's the biggest factor for every NFL team. The availability of your starting quarterback.
I think the schedule goes so much into this. So Clay's projections, and this is all data crunching. This isn't his personal preference. Has the Commanders as I think the 6th seed or the 7th seed in the playoffs. But what other people got to remember is that other teams have a much easier schedule. Like the Cardinals won, I think, 9 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Their schedule is a joke. All of the NFC West schedule is a joke because they play the AFC South. You already have the NFC North with the Lions and the Packers and possibly Vikings and Bears all in contention for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think we talked about San Francisco as the easiest schedule.
There is going to be so much competition. Just that's the balance is the better teams have difficult schedules, not just from the games they play, but the divisions that they,
right.
The conference games they play in. And the worst teams have easy schedules.
I think Washington's going to have a tougher division slate. The Giants are improved. And then I think Dallas is going to be, maybe they're not going to go back to 12-5, but I think Dallas is going to be a playoff contender.
He has the NFC West. It looks like the most closely bunched division. He has the Rams with 9.6 projected wins, Cardinals with 8.7, the Seahawks at 8.5, and the Niners at 8.1. He has the Niners at the bottom of that division. Now, again, these are just projections. Doesn't mean that this is the way this is ultimately going to play out. But he's crunched a lot of numbers, and he thinks that it's going to be closely contested in both the NFC West and the AFC South, who play each other.
And there's one more glaring nugget that jumps out at you.
Mm-hmm.
He has the Commanders. I don't know if it's on the sheets I printed off. Commanders defense giving up the most points in the NFL.
Oh, really?
Where did we rank in that last year?
I think 14 or 15.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're playing better competition. Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Did you go through the win probabilities of each opponent? So he's got the win probability. You know, we all went through the schedule last week. Win probability of the opener, 66%. Mm-hmm. Okay, play the Giants. Green Bay in week two, he's got a 42%.
Yeah.
So likely to lose. Play the Raiders. I think we all picked wins there. He's got 71%.
That's his highest number of the season.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's kind of like Commanders. Everything's kind of between 40 and 60 for the most part, other than he's got Philadelphia as a 35% chance and a 43% chance in both of the matchups, which are, of course, at the end of the season.
So. He's kind of disrespecting the Commanders with just a 31% win percentage against the Lions.
I know. Didn't they smash them in the playoffs?
Yeah, and that was at Detroit.
Yeah, even I was nervous about that game, this year, because everything went our way.
True.
Like, that's not going to happen again. Like, beat them, but it's not going to... We're not going to beat them the way we beat them.
They can have
playoffs.
A good day against the Lions.
But they're not going to beat them like that. They can have a good day and not beat them like that.
True.
I mean, that was like a perfect
Or day. They could just smoke them again.
Maybe Jaden. Maybe Jaden is lion-proof, EB.
I think anything is possible with Jaden Daniels at quarterback.
Yeah,
very bullish on him.
I'm bullish. I'm the most bullish on Jaden. But we still do have a defense that
it would be unlikely to see Jared Goff have such a disastrous game again against a pretty bad defense.
And that's the thing. It's also understandable to think that we're not going to run hot in like five or six of these last possession games.
How does he project all of the pass rushers? Let's see. He's got. Dorrance Armstrong is the leading pass rusher with 7.2. That's definitely going to be an issue this year. We thought they were going to address it in the draft, didn't really do so. So we're going to see if these guys they brought in, like Kinlaw and Wise, are going to be able to get to the quarterback.
Yeah. Where does he have Cleveland? Because it seems like he's got everybody with at least, for the most part, like 6 or 7
Cleveland
wins.
4.6 projected
So
wins.
That's their lowest.
It's the lowest on the board that I see.
He's got
next closest is the Saints at 5.4.
Terrifying.
He's done everything with the math. Like he's even projected next year's draft order.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the Commanders picking 20th. It's a playoff team.
Yeah, his top five projected picks in next year's draft. I mean, no surprise here. The Browns, Saints, Raiders, Titans, Giants. He doesn't share the same optimism that you have for the Giants, JP.
Well, look, I don't think the Giants are going to be like a double-digit win team, but I think they're going to be better. I think Russell Wilson is an upgrade over what they had at quarterback last season. And I'm intrigued by Scadaboo.
I think they're a 5 or 6 win team, especially in this division.
Isn't that an improvement?
East. Yeah, but they won 4 games. That's like a 1 or 2 game improvement.
Okay.
You know what it's not? It's not enough to save Daboll and Joe Shane's jobs.
I could see them winning 6 or 7. Maybe even 8.
I don't think they're going to approach 8 wins. I think that's wildly optimistic.
And I think the Cowboys are going to flirt with double-digit wins.
Okay.
They were 12-5 two seasons ago.
Yeah, but didn't they lose a bunch of their guys? Like, it
lost
wasn't
Zach
just
Martin.
Because, you know, Dak went down. That was a big part of it. But they also lost a bunch of guys on their line, I thought.
I think they're going to be improved. Putting Pickens there with CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah.
With Russell Wilson? I think their offense is going to be better.
So. I just don't know where they're going to manufacture a running game. Like, they let Rico Dowdle go, and they bring in, like, Javonte Williams, and I think they have a couple of other young bodies there. Not really sold on that, but we'll see. Maybe
this is actually the most down projection I've seen at the Commanders. So I was telling you yesterday, I'm looking at all these stories that come out almost on the daily about the Commanders being one of the Super Bowl favorites, whether it's AI predicting them to win the Super Bowl or some random... You know, NFL Insider has them as a Super Bowl contender. This is the most pessimistic take at the Commander season that I've seen in a while. And this is Mike Clay's projections, which he's just putting in numbers, crunching numbers.
Yeah, you can't say he's overly bullish on the Commanders.
Why does he have everybody just projected only be playing 15 games? So he just assumes everyone's going to get hurt for 2 games on average.
Get dinged up.
On average, the average NFL starter will play 15 games. Is that the idea?
I guess.
Because that's kind of why all these numbers are a little bit muted.
Mm-hmm.
EB has over under on Marshawn Lattimore, who is one of your top targets.
Well, listen, I just
to
God
rip into.
Him. I hope he plays well.
Is 1.7 interceptions.
Yeah. How many games does he have him playing?
I don't see the game total where
he
he's
has
got
snaps.
The,
he has snaps.
He's got 920 snaps.
Seems only, like a lot. I would
got,
go under.
He's got Sandstrill with over 1,000 snaps. So
he's got
he's
him at 920. I would go under the 920.
That might be a safe bet.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet.
You can find that on your online book.
Think he's going to have a banged up hammy?
Place a wager.
I think we got damaged goods. We got a guy past his prime. Unfortunate.
Right, when we come back, we'll get into EB's entertainment page, and we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Metallica when they come to Northwest Stadium next week. So keep listening for your chance to win. Attention golfers and Patriots, the annual Purple Heart Open presented by Green Drop is back, and it's better than ever. Join them Tuesday, June 3rd at 1757 Golf Club for a day filled with camaraderie and competition, too. You can make a meaningful impact in the lives of those who have sacrificed so much for our country. Register today at purpleheartfoundation.org and secure your spot in this unforgettable event. If you can't attend, you can still play a vital role in supporting our heroes. Donate auction items or make a direct contribution. It's easy, it's impactful, and it's tax deductible. Visit purpleheartfoundation.org. Coming up before the show is done, we'll give you a chance to win two tickets to Metallica M72 Tour with special guests Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies. They'll be at Northwest Stadium a week from tomorrow.
Cakes, you're a horror guy. You've always liked the classics, yeah, like Halloween,
correct,
and Friday the 13th.
This is correct, yep.
I didn't know this, but did you know that they called Ashton Gentry's stance in the backfield the Michael Myers backfield stance?
I was aware of that, yes, because he stands straight upright. He doesn't have any sort of lean. Jahmyr Gibbs is kind of similar, too.
I read a story that Chip Kelly has already told him to change it, and I don't know if it'll change by the regular season. Chip Kelly is going to be his offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And Kelly apparently in the first rookie camp, mini camp, told him to change his stance.
Why is he anti the Michael Myers stance? Why is he the anti Matt Valdez's brother stance?
I guess he's an old school coach who believes that you should be in kind of that.
Like
I don't know how you describe the position.
A little bit hunched over, like ready to. To
like
get
your
the
knees
ball.
Are a little bit bent.
I don't understand the science behind it.
Well, it's just ready. It just is, you know, ready. Chip Kelly drew it to comparison to basketball.
Yes.
And Gentry said he won for now, but I'm gonna try to get stance back.
He's gonna
Which
sell
is interesting
on it.
Is that all the high school kids across the country have copied Gentry,
well,
and they
have.
All do the same thing now. So.
But usually, you know, your football stance, you got kind of your knees bent.
Yeah.
Sometimes your hands
are
on your knees.
You're standing straight up. You know what? It's hard to argue with success.
Yeah.
The guy's a stud in college. And last time I checked, Jahmyr Gibbs has a similar stance, and he's done pretty well in the NFL. So I guess it's just Chip Kelly's old school and wants him to conform to the way he likes to do it. We'll see how it works out. Hopefully the Commanders tackle him about 50 times week 3 when the Raiders are here.
Well, according to Mike Clay,
that's a dumb.
They have a 71% chance to win that game.
Ooh, if we do a survivor pool again through Circa Sports, might have to use the Commanders week 3. If we make it to week 3.
Right.
Because last year, we got eliminated in week 1.
Are we doing that again?
That really sucked.
Are we doing that the whole thing? Like
I enjoy it.
I do too. But like the Vegas one?
Sure.
All right.
I'll donate $250. Just throw it in the kitty.
Such a donation.
It is a donation.
Such a donation.
Are you going to regale us with entertainment page stories,
sure.
Mr. Bickle?
Sure. I just regaled the toilet.
Well, I got out of there before the scene got too disgusting.
No, it got pretty gross in there.
Yeah.
There was a homicide.
Not great.
I'm very nasally. I got to get rid of this. American Idol had their season finale, and it doesn't matter who won because I'm pretty sure, I mean, they're all great, but I'm pretty sure, you know, probably won't be a star. I think those days are past of American Idol or voice winners going on to superstardom. But, you know, their season finale is always littered with great performances. I actually haven't seen it. I've only seen a few clips. So I was telling Cakes, Good Charlotte performed. It kind of shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
They were amazing. Like, I couldn't believe how they sounded great.
They were a really good live
they
band.
Did, they did the Anthem. Been forever. And then they did, I can't remember what's the other one. Can't remember the other one that they did. And all the other, like, American Idol kids that were, like, in the top 10 or whatever, they all performed. They were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, one that wasn't amazing, though, was Jessica Simpson. Now, I don't know why on earth she was there, but she
did
a performance that some critics said was the most cringe thing they'd ever seen.
I mean, she a judge at one point?
Do we have any of it?
No.
She's never been a judge?
Do you have Jessica Simpson's performance on Idol?
I mean, if it's that bad, we have to have access to it.
You're out of reasons to explain what went wrong.
Did she ever have a hit? Her sister had a hit.
Jessica Simpson? I'm sure she had some hits.
I guess. I can't think of any.
I can't think of any.
It's not the genre of music you listen to other than Taylor Swift.
No, but her sister had like one or two like really big hits.
Well, she also had that highly publicized bit on SNL when she was lip syncing.
Right.
It was a debacle.
But that song was a smash.
Yeah.
I don't think she sounds terrible here.
Yeah, I think she's. Is this a deal where just like the PR people just get her booked on the show?
This is the only time I will ever that will ever hit my ringing ears.
Yeah.
I will never listen to that ever again.
What's funny, the
according to this list, EB, her top song was I Wanna Love You Forever. She has another one called There You Are and Take My Breath Away.
Did any of them ever get like go platinum or anything? Get like over back in that day, they used to get a lot of
platinum album used to be a big deal.
Yeah, it used to be a big deal.
Million
now it's really
sales.
Hard. But it's really hard to get platinum now because people just stream.
I Want to Love You Forever hit number 3 on the Billboard charts on the Hot 100.
Well, the
her
boys,
first and only top 10 record to date.
The boys were arguing
forever
during one of the commercial breaks. And I think all the guys back there, maybe not Drab, were Morgan Wallen fans. I'm a big Morgan Wallen fan. Sounds like Mar is. I think Valdez is.
Yeah.
But Valdez is trashing the album. You listened to the double album finally?
I listened to all 37 songs.
Yeah.
That's a commitment.
I actually did yesterday too, but I did it while I was playing golf, so I wasn't particularly paying attention. So Valdez says it was, I believe the quote was, it was very, what'd you say?
Underwhelming.
Underwhelming. There might be something to that. Too much at one time. They all blend together.
He made a critical strategic error. By releasing his new album with 37 songs, because my guess is he's recording all of these songs in like the same kind of style, the same kind of tone that he's doing. Like people like Drab think all of his songs sound alike. I'm not that way, but this album with 37 total songs, a lot of them sound alike.
Well, they certainly do when you're playing golf. And I'll tell you what's interesting about it is the only ones that popped to me were the ones that I've already heard before.
Right.
That's also what people are saying, are the ones that have been re-released or are already the hits that are on the album.
Right.
There's no real gems.
Look, I listened to it one time.
I know nothing about the music industry, but why wouldn't you just release an album with 12 to 15 songs, put the other 20 in a vault, and just release those?
Slow roll them? I don't know.
Just later. Like, why all 37
at once? It's quality, not quantity in this go around. And maybe he's just saying, hey, I got all these songs. My fans want to hear them.
You mean it's quantity, not quality?
Yeah, yeah. Quantity, not quality. So here you go. You guys can figure out which ones you like and which ones are the best.
You can sift through the garbage.
The problem is it gets overwhelming when there's so many.
Yeah.
And I listen again. It's playing while we're playing golf. I just have it in my little bag. They did all sound very similar. Mm-hmm. Then the ones I really perked up. But the ones I had already heard.
Right.
So I don't know.
Sounds kind of meh, like a meh offering.
What are people saying online? Are they loving it?
I don't know. I just know my silly golden ears. That's my conclusion.
Yeah, that was my own conclusion too. I have no idea
I don't know what the Twitterverse is saying.
Mm. Yeah.
Twitterverse is usually just a horrible place. So they're probably don't have anything good to say.
I think a lot of people have the same thoughts as we do about it.
Yeah,
about just being, it's just too much.
Just too much.
I think it's a huge strategic error.
How can you expect people to sift through all of that and to find your gems? It's really hard, right? I don't know.
I applaud the idea, but there's a reason why bands and artists aren't putting out double albums or putting out these huge
collections. Guys that do that, it gets lost. Like, I remember Prince would do that, right? Wouldn't Prince just release a ton of stuff later in his career? It just kind of get lost in it. Didn't Pearl Jam kind of do that? Didn't they just release a ton of stuff? None of it really,
I don't even know.
None of it ever really landed. I don't know.
And it's kind of bangerless, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I like, there's no hype. It's all like kind of, it's very like slow, sitting around a fire pit type album. There's no like day party songs that you would listen to like on his previous
Nothing
records.
Just jumps off and grabs you.
Mar, are you with us or no?
I kind of disagree. I think there's about like three or four songs that will, over time though, you got to, like, I mean, the album just dropped, what, 72 hours ago?
All right. Which ones are jumping? Are there a couple jumping out of you?
So what I do is I listen to all 37 and then I add about 8 to my playlist. And then from those 8, I favorite like 3. So I favorited, 3. Just In Case, I think that's one of them. Genesis is the other one. And then LA Night, which was the one that he actually thought was the best.
I think that one was the best.
All right, I'll check those out specifically.
I mean, they're bangers. Just give them time. Let them marinate.
I like it. A couple other things. Kevin Spacey, I don't know. I guess you can come back from anything in Hollywood.
This is crazy.
He's going to be celebrated at the Cannes Better World Gala, Cakes, whatever that is. He's going to a Lifetime Achievement Award. Despite all of the cancelings, the Me Too stuff, all of the lawsuits.
He is a great actor. There's no disputing he's a great actor. He's just probably a creep.
Speaking of great actors, we talked about it earlier. Denzel Washington flipped out after like a photographer was like grabbing him on the red carpet.
Hey, Denzel can't skirt blame. He did a move that's butt disrespectful.
What'd he do?
He put his finger in someone's face.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah.
He did
that
first before he was grabbed? Or after? I think he got grabbed.
No. He was touched on the arm, finger in the face, turned around, the other dude grabbed him, and then that's when he kind of said,
okay, but the first person grabbed him, and then he pivoted. Unless I missed the video.
It was like a tap. It was like hey.
Hey, he's lucky he didn't finish him. He's the equalizer.
That's true. And did nobody see Gladiator 2 where he took like a nail and put it right in the Emperor's ear
see Gladiator 2.
Nobody saw Gladiator 2.
Yeah, you're the only one.
Right. You're probably right. Not that many people saw Gladiator 2.
He did a Dikembe finger wag right in the guy's face.
He definitely did. Definitely put him in his place. All right, we're going to take caller number 10 at 800-636-1067 right now. What do you win? How about 2 tickets to Metallica M72 tour with special guests Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies. The show date, Wednesday, May 28th at Northwest Stadium. For tickets and more event info, you can go to thefandc.com/events. 10th caller, instead of paying for tickets, you win them for free. 800-636-1067. We'll see you tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley are up next.